Let's go, we're back for Sample Axis Podcast.
That's what's up.
Episode number 9. This feels good.
Yeah, it feels real good.
Feels like good. I mean, I see people who have done 90 episodes.
We're getting there now.
Let's 115. Just, I'm like,
small.
And there's something about podcasting that you just keep doing it. Like,
and that's the idea now. Basically, like, since it's like an outlet for people that want to
express themselves.
You want your voice to be heard. This is like a platform for you to just come out and say stuff. Let people learn from you one way or the other. There's this thing about like nobody's an island of knowledge. So a lot of us actually have stories or things in our minds or things in our heads or things we have learned about, you know, books we have read that we're looking for, you know, an outlet to just...
And sometimes you don't know you have so much in your head.
Exactly. Until
there's a reason to talk about that.
Yeah, that happens all the time, especially when you think you don't know so much about a particular topic, then the conversation about that topic starts.
Learning is beautiful.
Yeah, very, very.
Knowledge is... I recently bought a book out of curiosity. Of course, I don't need it.
That's cool.
But of course, I like the idea of residual knowledge. I bought a book called something about economic hitman, how one man was... I just saw the book. It attracted me. I was like, I'm going to buy this one.
Yeah, that's and then business.
It's going to come useful maybe 5 years later.
20 years.
When you're talking about something in that respect. And you don't know, you might find yourself in that industry and you need this knowledge to help you. So that's, by the way, we're talking too much. We don't lose focus.
Nobody's losing focus, man.
We should not lose focus. This is Sample Axis Podcast. And something about technology I wanted to touch on. There's so much out there. We're talking about episodes.
Yeah.
Imagine if out of 7 billion people in the world, half a billion people, 500 million people are podcasters.
That's amazing.
I am amazed how technology is able to keep everybody's podcast in the sky, in the cloud now. Keep it in the cloud. And I mean, you can go to Joe Rogan, you find 2,000 episodes.
Yeah.
How do they log these things in? I mean, if you are trying to keep maybe bags of, if it was a bag, look at how many bags you're trying to keep.
Isn't it so amazing that accepts as much as possible.
There's no limit.
I think there's no limit. Right? It's like never ending, or there's no space limit. It's not like, okay, maybe we have 100,000 terabytes and that's it. No,
our voices are encoded in electrical beats.
Yeah.
Then encoded in, you know,
this is you getting your physics all.
I mean, physics and computer science. It's amazing. So it's actually not a bag of content saved in the sky. It's just a link.
Yeah, just a
it's
link
just encoded in one tiny pack.
Yeah,
it's amazing, man. Let's get to music.
Yeah, right. Yeah, this is the Sample Axis Podcast. You know what we do on this podcast? We get on with songs, and then we check out songs that have sampled another song before, or songs that have tapped from another song, or songs that were inspired by other songs. And we have so many of those songs right now out there, and it's quite amazing because, you know, when you listen to songs, I was listening to a song yesterday, and you know, I was doing my usual preview of older songs, and when I saw a couple of songs, and I'm like, wow, these songs have been sampled by one artist or the other. We can't talk about those artists now. I'm talking about songs that from the 60s, 70s now.
Yeah.
I was just going through, you know, random
playlists. And you can tell.
And when you hear the very first beat, you're like, whoa, I know this song somewhere else, or I know it another way, or another version. I mean, I found out another one that I'm going to tell you about later, because I just remember now, and it's wild, because I didn't
legit,
expect that,
right?
Yeah, I didn't expect that to be
save you something for later
that somebody would, you know, somebody would sample or get, you know, get across or want to even tap knowledge from that. But that's one of the beauty of sampling, and that's why we are here, to talk about sampling. That's what we do, talk sampling. We try to talk about those songs, to give you background knowledge on those songs, and we can sometimes talk stories, because stories are important.
For real,
everybody loves to listen to a story,
and there are
especially
so
when
many
they are told
stories.
Well, we have Burna Boy featuring Salty Soul, Time Flies, sampling.
This was so easy for everybody.
Do you know the wildest thing? I'm going to tell you the story about this weird song. I'm a big Burna fan, so obviously I was expecting the album, and the first night the album was out, I was already on, like, I think it was on Audio Mac. I went on immediately, and I'm like, let me check what's going on, and I listened to the song. I had a couple of samples that I know already. I mean, from the very first song, I heard Pat Boone's voice. I'm like, okay, I know this. I'm like, wow, this is really cool. I never thought about it in this light before. And then I heard a couple of songs, I had a couple of samples here and there, but the one that struck the most, when I heard the beginning of Time Flies,
it's too easy.
I think it was because a week before I had done a show on radio that had to do with Shadi Adu. So the moment I heard that beginning part, I'm like, I know this sound somewhere. Yeah. And I picked it up, and you know, while just thinking, I say, yeah, this is a song, Sweetest Taboo. And then as the flow went on, I'm like,
another one.
This is another one. I think I texted you that night.
Yeah.
And I texted you, I'm like, okay, yo, this is Shadi Adu, this is Mark Anthony, and we need to talk about this ASAP.
Yeah,
you're like,
real.
Let's chill for a while.
Let's chill for some time.
So that we can let this, you know, let people digest this thing. And that's why we're here.
Twice has Tour dropped when?
I think it should be over a month now, because it's
well over a month. I think.
Oh, yeah. Think it's over a month
close
now.
Close to 2 months. Something about Sweetest Taboo, the beginning of the song. There is a way songs start that if it's a hit and then you years know, later you're listening to that song, the beginning gets you. There's some excitement, like, so I think it's, I don't know how to say it, but is it premeditated when you want to produce a song to say I have to attack it from start in the proper way?
You know, music is made like
spontaneously.
You really
don't,
I think,
know.
The best of sounds are made spontaneously,
not properly calculated.
You don't think about okay, does it sound very great. Everyone wants a perfect song,
mm-hmm.
so you must have worked on that song. For example, Sweetest Taboo is like one of those songs that you just hear. Sweetest Taboo is, there's really no, it's inexplicable
mm-hmm.
how it touches you. 1985, I've said it before, I think 1985 was a very strong year for music,
mm-hmm.
very strong year. We had Silver Shadow from 1985 as the band turns. I think we have talked about Silver Shadow too much on this podcast, but yeah. If you listen to our podcast, you should have listened to Silver Shadow by now. With the amount of time I've talked about it,
it's fine if it doesn't hit you like it hit me, because it does different things to different.
Yeah, different people. Yeah, but like just listen.
There's some people that it is a randomly different song that you don't like that hits them. So
yeah, and then thinking about like 1985, Sweetest Taboo, it came in a year where people were trying new stuff, because they just dropped they decided to drop the post disco era that they had been with for a very long time. I'm talking about 80 to 84.
Mm-hmm.
They had the post-disco era. So they would do songs that don't necessarily sound disco, but like have that disco vibe, but would also be very, very cool and, you know, well put together. And I'm talking about people like Earth, Wind & Fire. And it's because of that time, it was the disco guys, the guys that had done disco in the 70s, that were coming into the 80s. So they had to do, obviously, they already had a genre, but they had to switch because disco died in 79.
Mm-hmm.
Sad story. They had to do sounds that didn't sound like disco, but it was good music. They had people like Lakeside do Fantastic Voyage that kind of like led in 1980. I know I'm already talking like an old man, but yeah, take it. Led in 1980 and became like a groove. And then Silvers came in 81, did Comeback Lover. That was an amazing song. And then we had in 1982, Michael Jackson started recording Thriller with Rod Temperton and Quincy Jones. I'm moving on with the timeline so that you understand how that sound exactly was birthed.
Mm.
And then we had, as at this time, jazz has been forever, since the 40s. But this time, they were looking for a way to infuse jazz and other kind of music together to have a unique sound. Do you understand? And then there were a couple of people that I tried earlier, talking about like people like George Benson. They had done stuff like that before. Miles Davis tampered with it once or twice, you know. So they had stuff they were working on. And then 1983, as I said, 1983, you had people like Jackson 5 coming out again. Now they were already switching up, you understand? Switching up. 1984, we had people like Jocelyn Brown with somebody else's guy. Now they were already toning it down a little bit. So obviously, the jive song weren't as fast anymore. You want to listen to them carefully and understand what they are saying. Yeah, 1984 had lots of songs. And then we had 1985. Careless Whisper by George Michael.
Let's not get too lost in time. I mean,
yeah,
it's always good to go all the way back, especially if you're very familiar with these things. But of course, I'd like to think a lot of our listeners might not be able to relate to Jocelyn Brown. And all that. But it's always good, because knowledge is useful. Sometime in the future, we might need to go back to these things. You might find out sometime later, hear about the Whispers, hear about Lakeside, and then you remember you heard it on this podcast.
This is podcast, we talked about it.
But we're on Shadi's legacy, Shadi Adu's legacy. First of all, I don't know so much about her. I only know that she's an amazingly beautiful woman.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
Damn.
True, she's 61 and she looks amazing.
Man, there is, I don't like to be Shakespearean here, but
yeah.
There's something about Sade that's peaceful. Her music,
yeah.
Her look, the way
fact,
she,
the fact that any Sade's song, any Sade Adu's song would give you proper goosebumps.
Yeah, goosebumps, and you feel okay. Attached. You feel apart from attached. There's a, it gives you peace of mind. There's something like that.
Because that's the idea of.
She is so
also.
Peaceful. I was watching that Smooth Operator.
Smooth Operator, Shooter Star. You see the way
video.
She takes the
there
song.
There is some peace, something about peace around her.
It's the aura.
I really want to meet her and just feel
aura.
That aura.
Just to have a conversation with her.
She's amazing.
She has a magical talking voice as well.
What is Sade's legacy?
Sade. When we say Sade is like. The group, don't let us mix that up, because a lot of people mix that up.
Okay, maybe the question should have been, what is Sade Adu's legacy?
Okay, now Sade Adu's legacy. Okay, when we're talking about Sade Adu's legacy, Sade Adu is mostly known for her amazing songs. One of the things that people miss is the fact that she was part of the people that pioneered neo soul. Neo soul is a mixture of jazz, rhythm and blues, soul, and peaceful music. When you listen to Brand New Heavies. Never Give It Up. When you listen to songs like that, you know, even the way they took the song, Brand New Heavies now. There's this, you know, they're talking about something really hard. Give it up, feel so good. But the way they took the song, there's this peace of mind. You're like, no be fight.
Yeah.
If you get what I'm saying, don't. This is not a
chill,
fight.
Lay
just
back.
Let's enjoy this sound. And that's what you could hear from all of. Think about Smooth Operator. Think about Sweetest Taboo, which are our biggest songs.
Yeah.
No doubt. Sweetest Taboo and Sweet Orido. And then she just had that vibe. I think another person I can think about right now from the top of my head that has that neo soul vibe, although we're going to say she's more of R&B, is Anita Baker. Listen to Anita Baker's Same Old Love. This is Anita Baker's Sweet Love. All those songs are songs that have a vibe, and that's why Sade's legacy is strong, because she was from the UK. Originally, she was born in Nigeria, you know, your state, Ibadan. She was here for 4 years. Her mother, Annie Hayes, was, you know, they moved back here in 1955, and then after 4 years in the country, they went back to the UK, and obviously that's why she's well known.
Yeah.
Because if she was in Nigeria, her music might have not been like that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not. I'm not saying it would have been worse or not better. I just feel like
try to
taking a new,
see what was
a new light.
What else was happening in music around that time? Was hip hop around in
1985? Yeah, hip hop had started, but hip hop wasn't. Hip hop
was that Run DMC or Grandmaster Flash?
Run DMC, Grandmaster Flash.
They were around that time. They were making this. Violent music on one side.
It wasn't violent music. You
but it was
Run
harder.
DMC, Run DMC
it was
wasn't
harder,
violent
of course.
Music.
It wasn't violent music. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know them.
Hardcore music.
Hardcore music.
Yeah.
They were.
If you are looking for the violent music of that time, we're talking about stuff like rock. Rockers at that time was big. Check the Billboard chart of 1985. You had at least 4 or 5 rock songs.
So my point is, around that time, there was Sade, Anita Baker.
Yeah.
Was there Aretha Franklin?
Yeah, obviously.
Was there Patti LaBelle?
Patti LaBelle was already, she was already. She
so they were
time.
Around, and there was
Gladys Knight and the Peeps.
Different kinds of music.
Atlantic Star
moving around.
Yeah, that time was. That's why I said, for proper acknowledgement of how good this song is, you need to check the list of Billboard for 1985.
Let's not get to. I mean, these are cute stories that you just can't keep telling.
Yeah, let's move
and
on.
It's so sad. So yes, this song was sampled by. We had to. Give
talk
props,
about this.
Give props to Sade Adu, because she makes amazing music, and Sweetest Taboo would go on as one of the biggest love songs, you know, in the world. I don't know, top 100, top 200,
what?
Whatever.
Top 10.
Are you for real?
Yeah, I'm standing
biggest
on
love
that.
Songs
top 10
ever.
Top 10.
Are you for real?
I mean,
we always talk about Marvin Gaye. Sexual healing.
Sexual healing is not a love song.
It's not a love song.
Do you know Marvin Gaye's love song? You know Marvin Gaye's love song. My love is waiting for you.
I just feel this might not make top 10 because
because
so many
of
good
biases
guys.
From
but
other
let's say
people.
Top 50.
But
so
I'm saying for and I'm representing Nigeria. So
yeah,
I'm saying
for real.
Nigeria
has to be represented.
Top,
so yeah,
top 5, top
for,
2.
For Burner to find Sweetest Taboo, even though we learned that the production wasn't done by Burner.
Yeah,
because
with
this, is a,
and
this is a production sample.
But I still feel like Burner had a hand in this.
How do we tell?
I can't really tell, but I feel like, you know, Burner has always talked about how vast he is with music.
The fact that
he listens to lots of music,
show, knows
so
all
obviously
of
you don't, you don't, and obviously his mom, is available, so you know his mom would know songs like Sweetest
Taboo. So we're talking 85. How did a song in 85 bounce into 2020? Or perhaps let's assume Burner had this in mind since it was perhaps maybe 10 or 5.
The thing is, we don't, until these stories are being told clearly, we can't say.
But I'm trying to link up 85, Sweetest Taboo. How long was it a big song for? I mean,
yeah, Sweetest Taboo was a big song for a very long time. I think even till date, for people that love quality music, you know, there are some songs that never die.
Yeah.
There are some particular songs we know personally that would never die. Mm. Even some songs you came across as a youngin,
yeah,
and you knew it was so old. It's like "I've Got You, Babe" by Sony and Chebono. That song is not very big in Nigeria, but it's never going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? That song, they still use it in movies to till date.
Mm.
So, and that song was sung in 1966.
Whoa. Yeah, the only thing I can remember in that regard is Doris Day, Que Sera Sera.
Yeah. So stuff like that, and we had. That's why there's no really strong timeline for like cutting music.
Mm-hmm.
They can't say you're cutting music like this or like this music stops at this time. If it's a quality song, it's gonna last forever. It's like Smooth Operator. Ever since I've been like a child, anytime I'm on radio and they are playing quality old school music, at some point Smooth Operator will come up.
Mm.
At some point Silver Shadow will come out. At some point Michael Jackson's Thriller used to be the end show. Like, you know, you want to end the show.
This is the biggest.
Yeah.
Burna Boy, Sauti Sol, Time Flies. What is this song like? And before we talk about Mark Anthony, because we could identify two samples on that song, how do you describe the sampling? Because it looks very creative to me. Even though
it sounds
very creative.
Very creative.
We have Sauti Sol speaking their local language. We have Burna Boy being emotional, trying to persuade to you. We have there's a story to the song. So talk about the song from the angle of the work done on the sampling. We have Mark Anthony's melody, you know, also
somewhere.
Yeah, it's
a piece of the thing is, I feel like this music, This Time Flies, is a powerful music.
Yeah,
powerful sound. Because
is it top 5 on the album?
Yeah.
We have to categorize top 5.
Yeah,
because there are dance songs.
Yeah,
there are
top five. Maybe.
Maybe not.
We have 15 songs.
Maybe it's, I don't think top, it's top 5. Among Nigerians, definitely not top 5.
Oh, no. Among
Nigerians love 23.
Heck no. You have 23. Comma, you have Way Too Beef. You have Comma. You have Bebo. You have No Fivex. Those are 5
There's
songs.
There's one more. The one with Stormzy, I don't know. He's doing well in the UK, but I know they feel him.
That Real Life is an amazing song. Yeah. I don't know why you guys don't like
People
it.
Like Bank on it. So, let's say top 10.
Yeah, top 10. So, that's good, man. He has a top 10 in the top 15.
That album. 15, that's how you know a good album.
Yeah.
You can't decide.
That's good. Thinking about it, Time Flies. What was the song like? Okay. Time Flies, you think about... At the first time, I was going to say this. First listen, I just really liked the melody.
Yeah.
I didn't listen carefully.
Me. I mean... When I heard Shade,
this is beautiful. And then I heard Mark Anthony's "I Love You," I need you, and all that.
Quick one, I always, up until a few days ago, I thought Mark Anthony was Nigerian.
Oh,
that song was so Nigerian. Nollywood abused that song.
Wow,
I thought the song was made by a Nigerian, but then because perhaps he was speaking, I don't know. Maybe because he had some Spanish. Are you saying Nigerians can't make a song that good?
I'm not saying Nigerians can't. I'll tell you why it was a big song in Nigeria. They used it for an advert.
And there's a movie I can't recall. I remember Genevieve is in that movie. I can remember roll credit. This song was playing.
Wow.
That was the first time
there was an ad. I don't know whether it is Lux or
ever. Yeah.
One of those ads
We're talking 20 years ago.
Yeah,
15
years ago. Over 15 years ago, Lux or Ad, one of them had the ad. That's why everybody knows the song.
Yeah.
I think it's Dead Tone. So Time Flies talks about like you knowing that actually from the song Time Flies or from the title that time actually is flying, that you're not going to need to wait to get the bag or wait to, you know, get the train moving. There's some part where it says the train is about to move. You understand? Time flies like a thief in the night. Had a couple of people argue what the idea of time flies like a thief in the night is, because you're like, why would somebody say time fly like a thief in the night?
Give us the biblical perspective.
There's a biblical perspective from the logic idea of it, or like trying to use logic to dissect this thing. You say something like time flies like a thief in the night. I think it's just personal. This is me just saying, maybe like flight, the fact that like thieves can come in and go out at any point in time and stuff would happen and that's it. Do you understand? Like, time really waits for no one. That's the idea. I feel like time is, the pace of time is heavy. like, it's not, you can't like, you can't talk about it like too much. Do you understand? So like, you have to just get on moving. That's why there's one part Salty Soul says, when you get the love, you give it back. Make some money and get that bag. Do you understand? Like, time is moving. Do you understand? So just get on with time. It's like telling you, if you are 20, 21, we understand that you have to be patient. The dough would come. But make sure you are doing something that, you know, makes you move. I think Burnout was very, that's one of the songs, apart from 23 and Monsters You Made, that was very emotional.
Apart from, you just mentioned, you just did like the personal, what we feel would be the personal message from that song.
Yeah.
There was the other angle, looks like there is an African perspective.
Yeah.
The soundbite that ended the song by Mama Burner was, you know, the fact that
Africa, from the Niger Delta, we are rising up, we're getting there. Up.
So it's like saying, Africa, time flies.
Let's get on moving.
Get things going. And then shout outs to NSAS. I mean, we are on this. We have to get things right.
Yeah.
We're in the times where, you know,
Nigerians are standing up.
Yeah. In the Congo, there is a situation that has to be addressed. There's the hashtag Congo is bleeding.
In Namibia, females are crying.
You know, femicide saying, situation. Yeah, so, and I always hate that Africa has been like this for I don't know.
I'm proud of this generation personally. I don't want to talk too much about it because it's Sample Access podcast and all.
For real, but just to shout out, because the spirit of the song is saying, Africa rise, Africa time flies. We have to get things right. So just to take a little break to talk about that. So yeah, before we play the song, of course we mentioned that
Mark Anthony
was also sampled on this song.
Yeah,
this song is so big, or maybe not so big, but Mark Anthony
is very big.
Very big.
What do you mean? If Nigerians know a song, this is a song that I'm very sure you go to almost every corner of Nigeria, and you start the line when it is dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. Everybody can tell,
everybody knows the song, so that's a big song.
This man has 2 Grammy, of course, nominated for
2 Grammys,
I think 6. He's like the biggest Spanish or Latino artist. Hey, well, I don't know what generation.
And it's, right now we have, we know he's an older generation. It's the 2000s
Mark Anthony, seems to have a lot. I mean, 2 Grammys is,
and Enrique too was actually that era though.
Yeah.
So, 90s down.
And then he's like the biggest with numbers. This man is Mark Anthony. I'm not sure because you just brought up Enrique, but from what I figured, Mark Anthony is grossing the biggest numbers in terms of recognition.
I'm sure he still get royalties for that
Latin.
Latin
American artists. You are talking about royalties. Yeah. He must have been sampled by a lot of people.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I feel like he still gets.
I definitely know that a song like this would be featured in movies. Blah blah blah.
Obviously.
Yeah. It's great, still good.
Song. Yeah, it's a great song for the mood. She set the mood. It's an amazing song to set the mood.
What does it? How do you tell a good song? Like, what do you need to make a love song like this? For me, I feel the song, it's so simple yet so good.
That's
how
all.
How do you make it to make a
all.
Big song
that's
like
all.
That?
That's all. What you just said now is what makes what I feel makes a great love song.
And maybe Angel was passing.
Yeah, Angel has to pass. Yeah,
one Angel because
Angel has to pass.
Sometimes you look at other people make these songs. I'm like,
it doesn't hit. Angel has to enter. Pass. And look at the words. I need you. It was written by Corey Rooney, not actually Mark Anthony. Mark Anthony just lended his voice. He led his voice to the song, and I'm sure when Corey Rooney was writing it, there was a story behind it, and he just wrote it. And you discover most of these songs, especially the one we're going to talk about next, they're just very simple, very like, they just love songs, and love songs are supposed to be simple.
They're the simplest things. I'm like, I'm listening again, I'm like, this guy is not saying anything. He's not saying anything so sophisticated. He's just saying
that I met you, girl.
I knew what was going to be, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
He's just saying, and then the video is kind of simplistic too.
Yeah. Simple stuff.
There was a little
simple
session.
And quality.
Yeah.
And the beat is amazing. You can play the beat alone and feel the
that's
love.
A good use
feel
of the guitar.
Yeah,
feel that's the a love. Spanish vibe.
Very, very simple thing. I think that's the thing. If you want a great love song, do quality simple stuff.
Let's talk about Salty Soul briefly before we move on. Salty Soul are like the biggest group in African music in the last 10 years.
Ten years is too much. Let's just give them 5.
But was there ever a group that did it like this?
Yeah, we have
Mafia Kizolo. Oh, for real.
For real.
But when we say group, I'm talking boy band, like One Direction.
If it's boy band, you can give it to Salty Soul.
Boy band, Salty Soul.
But if you're saying group, P Square.
Nico and Vince was popping at the time. Mafikizolo was popping.
Mafikizolo didn't do 5 years.
Sauti Sol are doing it on a very good
and
level.
And Sauti Sol, they are amazing singers.
I love To Live and Die Shout in out Africa. To them.
I like the fact that Sauti Sol actually have their hand in production as well, because
you understand
that's
the music.
That's one thing about like music. We can't talk about that right now, maybe later.
Yeah.
But like, if you are going to make quality music, you need to understand music.
Mm.
That's all.
Cute stuff.
Yeah.
Let's play. First, we play, of course, Shade Adu Sweetest Abu. A snippet of that. Before RIAA will come and give us query.
Yeah.
We play a snippet from Shade Adu first, so that you get, of course, you already know what part of the song was sampled, the progression of the beats, and then we play a song that sampled both. This is Burna Boy featuring Sauti Sol, Town Flies. Just a part of, please notice the beat progression that was sampled from Shade Adu, and notice the vocal performance by Burna Boy sampled from Mark Anthony. So in that progression, just a snippet of the three songs. Welcome back from that break, Sample Axis Podcast. We're back. We played you Sweetest Abu, Shade Adu, Burna Boy, Sauti Sol, Time Flies, Mark Anthony, I Need You. How far apart were they?
Sweetest Abu, 1985. Mark Anthony, 2002.
Burna Boy, 2020.
Burna Boy, 2020. That's 18 years. Mark Anthony, 35 years. Sweetest Abu. Fastest math I've ever done in my life.
Yeah, you're a good boy. You're not like someone that is a bad boy.
Oh, yo.
I do well.
All right, I didn't say anything. You quote him.
Let's get to Olamide. Baddest guy ever lived, by the way. If there's anything I like about Olamide, is his guts. They tell you you're from Bariga. Nobody has done it before. F that. I'm going to do this.
This is the part of this where I'm supposed to hide myself. I'm a Bariga boy.
For real. Shout outs to you guys.
Yeah, man. Big ups to us.
Olamide has put you guys on the map.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
It's like Compton for Kendrick.
Yeah, that's true. It's like, we have a lot of creatives in Bariga.
Like New York
cool.
for 50 Cent. Brooklyn for Jay-Z.
Yeah, yeah.
Bariga for.
Yeah.
Olamide
yeah.
is going to flip it anyway and get the job done.
You know the funny thing?
People told him, I did it at some point. I said, Olamide, he's commercial, but blah, blah, blah.
Ola what? Please take that back. Please.
Of course, I'm saying I did it at one time.
Oh, one time.
I listened to Baddest Guy
Ever. Please, that time should not come again.
I listened to Baddest Guy Ever Lived's album this morning. I'm like, yo, 21 tracks. This man has paid his dues.
Yeah.
He's probably the only hip-hop guy, rapper in Nigeria to drop
Olamide
albums from 2011 up until now, I believe. Every year there's been a project.
Now, this is me about to go unbiased right now. The few words I'm about to say, I'm saying it's bias and facts. Olamide is one of the biggest artists in Nigeria.
No doubt.
Ever.
Everyone agrees.
And what I mean ever.
Hold on.
Yes. I'm talking timeline now. From the 40s down. Quote me anyway. I'll tell you
why. Can you give us a breakdown? Give us a perspective. Why do you say this?
I'll tell you why. The ones that we rate, as the greats, Fela Nicola Kukuti, King Sonny Ade, Chief Commander Ebenezer Obey, Peacock Band, Oliver the Cook.
Where do we put Dennis?
All these guys. Victor Waifu. I'm still calling all these guys. Their names many for my head.
Yeah.
But I'm saying these guys, why do we call them the greatest? Apart from the fact that they did music. They did quality music and they had body of work everywhere. I'm talking about people that would drop albums 1977, Ruffle Ruffle Fight, and this song. There's two albums from Fela in 1977. That's no joke. Ain't nobody did that since 2000. Call the name of the person for me.
2000. I'm
standing right here. Shout out to all the big artists, the Wizkids, all the likes. Those guys are good. They're amazing artists, you know. They make quality music. But when you're talking about work out there, putting work out there and having quality stuff, I was telling somebody sometime, I'm sorry, this is all for Olamide, man. Olamide, I'm doing this for you right now.
Big shout out.
Yeah, big shout out to him. I have to say this so that people know. I declare them. Olamide said it in...
Let's know what we are doing.
Yeah, Olamide said it in Yomiweda. I think Yomiweda is 2015 now. He said it. He said, I just want clear now. Say I no be any kind. We need to give respect to people that actually
deserve it.
Take their time to make music. We see artists every time. As I said earlier, you rate all these people because of the amount of work they have put out there. The reason why you rate Fela so much is because Fela never stopped. It was always on our necks. I mean, Fela's 1990 ODOO, Overtake, Don't Overtake, Overtake, one of the best most arranged songs ever. And that's because he never stopped. Fela's been active since 67. What do you want to say?
You were talking about the biggest artists in Nigeria.
Yeah, that's why I'm calling them down. I'm calling it like this. In the 80s, we had wrong timing. 80s was the worst time for Nigerian music.
Well, that's when
I'll tell you why. We had Alex O. We had Alex Zito.
Obi Onyoha.
We had Obi Onyoha. Theodore Ifudu. We had Vera Mariogi. Vera Mariogi, by the way, did not spend more than 5 years in the music industry. I understand because she said when she came into the music industry, she just wanted to make music for a particular cause, which she did with Nigeria Will Survive in 1984. That became the biggest album that year. Moving on. We're talking about people like Onyeka Owenu. Those are people that you can rep. But see, the other guys in the 80s. Sorry, Alex. So, big ups, man. But, like, I ain't going to put you in the same line as Olamide.
What about Evyedna Ogoli?
Evyedna Ogoli. Let's be careful. Please, I did not say this so.
But of course,
Justics now. Justics
are past vibes. Yeah. Hold on. These are different times.
No, but this... Yeah,
music changed in the 2000s.
But I feel like we should have this conversation.
And listening audience increased, too, largely.
But let's just say it the way it is. Evyedna Ogoli, she had songs upon songs upon songs upon songs. Do you know what I mean? Majek Fashek had 5 or 6 albums. Prisoner of Conscience. Rainmaker. This was a guy that was... And all these songs were powerful. And that's why you rate all these people. The Jastic crew there. That's Raskimono, Black Rice, Evyedna Ogoli, and Majek Fashek. Those guys, they went out, they did great music. That's why we rate them to today. That's why I said Olamide has to be there. Not just because of the amount of work he has put, but there's no Olamide album that you wouldn't drag out 5 to 6 songs that has done very well.
I was talking about Baddest Guy Ever Lives. I felt I knew only 5 songs. I knew almost all the songs.
You felt what?
Hold on a second. There's Drew Soke. There is a Supofo. There is the one with Bez, Higher. There is a song with Ice Prince and Pepe Nasi, Motivation. There is Ele Damio. There is Bado Love, which we are getting to today. There is
Yemi My Lover, actually very popular.
There is Dope Money. Like, Olamide's albums. I don't know if Street Oti did as good. I believe Eyan Mayweather. I'm very familiar with Eyan Mayweather.
Yeah.
There are songs, Eyan Mayweather is big. Songs. But what I could tell from this, listening this morning, was that Baba did songs for Bariga Boys.
Yeah.
Did songs for the middle class. Not middle class now. If you can connect Bariga and being elite in one body,
he
had songs for you. If you like hip-hop so much and you want to be updated...
I think Yemi Weather is the album for you.
No, I'm still talking BGEL.
Okay.
A song like Dope Money was already talking about
Dope Money was a powerful
was
song.
Already it was flipping trap vibes
on
a part of that
2013
song.
Note that down.
Anifowose sampled Kwamwan and was also sampling Migos. Versace.
Yeah.
Olamide had everybody on board.
Yeah.
He knew how to connect to the local audience.
Yeah.
Knew how to make original hip hop records.
Niduro
was the first song. He did it solid. So just to move on from Olamide, Baba has paid his dues. he has done a lot in terms of, you know, dropping music and repping hip-hop. Of course, there is the part where people might say there was a lot of commercial music, but it was necessary for the audiences.
I have to say something. Apple recently did an interview with Olamide, and Olamide said something. They said Kiwi had known that at some point, power of fame would be so much for him to handle. He would have taken a step back and done what I've done behind the scenes stuff and songwriting. I don't know if you know this, but Olamide has written songs for people before. And then that's why
Baba don't also help people.
Yeah.
Randomly, Devoli, YC, give them verses.
Yeah.
Q-Dot in Ibadan.
Yeah.
Leo Kesh. There's a list of people who Olamide have brought up.
And that's why we need to give him props. And that's why I love the song. You know, Olamide is one of those artists that actually said, and I remember when he said, it was one interview that he had, he said he was saying in the interview that I listen to a lot of songs. And you can, it's obvious. Look at the albums he has this year, 999 and Kappa DM. Those two albums, class. It might not get like, you know,
that acclaim,
because of we are still dealing with the pom-pom sound. We are still trying to squeeze that off our body. But like, these are albums that you're going to come back to. That Carpe Diem, just a watch now.
I've not really paid attention to Carpe Diem, but I like Green Light.
Yeah.
And I like a few other
Green
songs.
Green Light is good. This is the one that you featured, Omali. But let's move on. Alright, so
Omali came through.
Omali came through. Yeah, so this is Bado Love from that album, Baddest Guy Ever Lived. I feel like if you want to talk about Baddest Guy Ever Lived, I need to refer people to a Music in Time.
Yeah,
so they can listen to the album there, because we can't talk about the album.
They might feature it much later, but
because we can't talk about it.
That's 1 hour or 2 hours for
ain't nobody
because,
talking about
like
that.
I said, I was listening this morning, I was just busting my head like, yo, Dope Money, I go back to that song.
Yeah.
Olamide was rapping in Egba language.
Yeah.
Fino was rapping in Igbo. They have a way to connect local audience, and they are still making a hip hop song that could mix in any, that could flow in any mix anywhere in the world.
It's because of learning. That's what we said the last time. When you are going to sample, you're going to understand music clearly, you have to learn. And what you learn, what you do is you listen to a lot of songs. You see how they were done, why they were done that way. We talked about Eminem at some point when we talk about the fact that Eminem did a trap song and did it better than trap artists. It's because he has learned about it. This song, Shakiti Bobo, came from which album?
That should be Enyomi Weda.
No.
Are you sure?
How can it be Enyomi Weda?
2015.
Enyomi Weda is...
Had Enyomi Weda, had Say Something, had Jega, had...
Inferiority Complex,
had...
Had...
Bolin, Jekan Otemi Bo, had...
Mami.
Had Melo, like, Melo.
Yeah, Melo. No, was it Melo? I know.
I've lost it. But that goes to show you his discography.
See, look at the fact that we have so many songs to talk about Olamide, which is one of the things I was talking about earlier when I said that for a great musician, like someone, you have to listen to a wide range of songs. And you can see from Olamide's discography that he's versatile.
Yeah,
he doesn't do one thing. And that's what leads us to this point. I've never thought that I would want to be on a podcast and talk about how Olamide sampled Whitney Houston.
You know,
because it doesn't, like, because man, Whitney Houston is like I'm Every Woman. She's
Love. What's her genre like? What was the genre?
R&B, purely R&B, because she came in, like, you know, she came in late '80s, and late '80s was already moving from Jive post disco to R&B legit. So, but she did it all. She did the disco vibe. She did post disco. I want to rock with somebody. I want to dance with somebody.
That's a disco post disco song.
So, and then she had Greatest Love that was big in '88. Greatest Love was wild. I know that song was everywhere. I think Coming to America that was released in 1988 as well had that song in it. And moving forward, we have her doing I Will Always Love You, which is the song we're talking about today. She has a couple of other numbers as well, and she acted a couple of movies, and that's what led to this song being done.
I'll Always Love You. So the song, I'd like to try and remember the first time I listened to the song I'll Always Love You. Of course, it wasn't Dolly Parton. By the way, if you didn't know, Dolly Parton owns the
original
song.
That song, yes. She wrote that song. Powerful story behind that song.
Radio,
too.
When I was growing up, and perhaps even up until now, there's a popular thing with radio, which I think is cliche, by the way. The love stories, and like, love programs are in the night.
Yeah.
It's maybe something.
I think
night.
It's cool.
It's cool. But again, it's cliche.
Yeah.
We should disrupt everything.
Yeah, true.
Why can't you have 2 hours in the afternoon to talk about?
Yeah.
Who said you couldn't do it? So it was too cliche. Every radio station, maybe Tuesday night, maybe
they would
Sunday
play
night.
Always Love You.
Yeah, maybe
that's like the beginning song.
And then there are like 5 songs overplayed already by Nigerian radio stations.
Yeah.
That would include one of Celine Dion's hits. something. I really can't know, but I know Celine Dion.
I know that
Celine
song.
Dion has been abused on Nigerian Love Radio.
I'm trying to remember that song.
Best believe there are songs like I really can't remember
the song that was sung for this movie, Titanic.
Yeah, must be.
That's the song. Yeah. I can't remember the song.
Yeah, I can't remember
right
the title, but that's the song. I know that cliche culture of there are the same songs repeated on Nigerian Love Radio. Go listen to any of them. You know what I'm saying.
The reason why we're saying this, the reason why we're talking about radio is the fact that we feel like this might have been the time Olamide caught up with that song.
Yeah,
right?
Most definitely,
because Olamide would probably listen to a wide range of songs. You would think, okay, sometimes you buy records, sometimes you don't buy records, you listen to radio. Mm. Everybody had to listen to radio if you want to listen to good music. Mm. So songs that were played too much. I remember Foxy Brown's Gotta Get You Home Tonight. At some point we're gonna touch it because that's his legendary song. Sure. And and that's why we know that Olamide, one way or the other, listen to I Will Always Love You via radio. We're not saying we're certain, but maybe his family
must
love
have been.
But we know that must it makes been. Perfect sense.
What could have been the other option? How else do people access music except radio?
Maybe video, maybe TV.
Yeah, TV. Yeah,
but I remember TV. LTV is
and
that
there were
time.
CDs too.
LTV used to do nasty you stuff. Buy playing CDs. I Will Always Love You, the video. Because remember, the video was from the movie. Now, I Will Always Love You, Whitney Houston's version, didn't come in an album. It came as a soundtrack on the movie The Bodyguard. I'm sure a lot of people saw The Bodyguard. If you saw one of those, yeah, like me, I used to watch movies on DBN, MITV at that point, you must have seen The Bodyguard like 100 times.
Because they keep repeating.
Oh my God. That film is like, why?
Wait till Apple.
We have seen it. Back to the Future, The Bodyguard, and Poseidon. They showed it. Bah.
Mm.
That's totally too much.
I can't remember much from my childhood
movies,
radio.
These are the three movies I remember that.
But I knew I was big on channels and AIT more.
Yeah.
AIT more. There's one song I always remember from my radio, TV, watching TV. This is Kofo the Wonder Man. He did. You turn my life around.
Yeah, but I mean, like, looking at that, so we're going to just come to a conclusion and say either TV
or radio
it
or
was
maybe
because
CD
they
or somewhere.
Too many.
Of course, it couldn't have been in the streets.
The song, yeah, obvious. Nobody's playing I Will Always Love You on the streets. What kind of weird vibe is that? What are you trying to attract? The devil? Come on, man. Why would you do that? No.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all I mean is listening to a song like that and seeing that, okay, I have something that I can actually coin from this song and see the rhythm, the way he took it. I did.
It just beat two lines.
Yeah, yeah. And
or one line.
Yeah,
just
this,
one line.
Just one line.
Credited.
I did it. Yeah, and this one, I don't know why she wasn't credited on that album.
How do you know she wasn't?
Because it was only two songs that were credited.
Meanwhile, Anipo Oshe was also sampled.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to get back to that
some other time.
And at the end of the song, Olamide says, "Big shout outs to King Wasiwa Inde Marshall. Thanks for the inspiration. I had to sample you."
And
so that's the acknowledgement.
Yeah, Ayinde Marshall was sampled and actually put down as a sample.
Oh, was down.
Motivation, yeah, Motivation is also a sample.
Featuring Ice Prince and Pepinazi.
Motivation is from Mumford and Sons, Ghost We Knew. The only two songs that were actually created as samples is Anifo Woshi and Motivation. And I'm sure Motivation, Mumford and Sons, probably, you know, there'll be some link up somewhere.
Mm.
Ghost We Knew, that's the name of the song.
If we were going to like dig a little further, who should take credit? Is it the movie makers or Whitney Houston's publishers?
Whitney Houston's publishers, because she sang the song, so it's like, I think it should be part of her masters.
Okay.
It has to be part of her masters.
Just
like she's lending. I think what they do with all those soundtracks is you own the songs, you lend the song to the movie.
Now, this is amazing.
And it's funny because
she's talking about
video.
This. Yeah. She's not the owner of the song. She
so
covered
like,
the song.
Yeah, but you said
but
that.
But then the publishers must have reached out to Dolly Parton's publishers.
You sure?
I mean, these things just happen anyhowness.
So.
There's a lot of anyhowness. Let's get to Dolly Parton because she's, of course, a big part of the song. I was amazed when I watched a clip where she told a story about how she made the song.
Yeah.
The story is so simple.
Yeah, so
simple. So simplistic and
simple and beautiful.
I am intrigued. I am impressed at the fact that such a big song, such a powerful song came from just a random, random thing.
You know, we said this thing before that the best of songs sometimes come from the weirdest,
places.
Like weirdest places or weirdest ideas,
situations.
Weirdest situations. Imagine her telling the story of how she was about to part with the show and move on with the solo career, and the person didn't get, you know, didn't understand why
she had to leave.
She had to leave her, and there was a back and forth. So they didn't come to, you know, a compromise or understand that, okay, she had to leave. So she went home, did what she knew how to do best, or what she knows how to do best, because Dolly Parton is still active to date. And she wrote that song. This song, 1973. And that's about what we have, 47 years
between Dolly Parton.
But no, between Dolly Parton and now, I want to cut up something. If You Play, I Would Always Love You Today.
It's still going to slap.
It's still going to be a great song.
Yeah.
And that's 47 years. The one that she did, that's Whitney Houston, 1992. That's 28 years.
Yeah.
And it's still a hit.
Yeah. It's still relatable.
Olamide is touching the song in 2013.
On the song title, Bado Love.
Bado Love.
Which is
weird name for a song, but we move.
But for real,
you know,
we didn't even explore the situation of the song, because that sounds like a true story. Bado, Olamide Bado, yeah. As bad as I am, I'm falling in love. Bado love, literally.
Well, as a
so
man,
yeah, it sounded like
point,
a good story.
At some point, you go love.
The same thing on Yemi My Lover.
Yeah.
Yemi My Lover is like a song.
Yeah, and thinking about it, as we talked about the whole tracks and that album, that was a very solid album. I think thinking about it now, all the way. Bad Guy Ever Lived has to be one of the best albums from Olamide.
Yeah, most
if not,
it's top three.
Would you think it's the best?
It can't be the best.
For me,
man, it's hard to
for
tell.
For me, Nelson,
it might be the best. I mean,
for me, Nelson.
Let's do a recap. A song like Ele Damio, a song like Anifowoshe, a song like Duro Soke at that time was turn up.
I'll say this. Bad Guy Ever Lived.
This is top two Olamide albums.
Yeah, but I think the one Olamide album.
But then again.
And I got like connected to
Yomi Weather was solid Weather. Too.
And the star, oh, I think we should talk about Yomi Weather.
Absolutely, it's not bad for a debut too.
Young Erykina
was the name we're trying to. No, that's not the name of an album.
That's not the name of an album. Young Erykina was in Rhapsody. That's a song that.
And Enduro was there.
Forever be there.
Legendary Hustlers was there.
Yeah.
Kelegbe featuring Lord of Anjasa was there. Olamide is a king, man.
Yeah, he's a king.
And we're counting songs. We cannot exhaust it.
You know what?
And there's Carpe Diem.
I feel like we need to just go, because if we stay here,
go.
We'll probably spend like, I don't know, 2 hours here. So
that's the package for Sample Access Podcast Episode 9, Buiga and Nelson. We'll be back for Episode 10 next week. But of course, right now we play you. What do we play first?
I think we should play Whitney Houston first.
Because of why?
Because it's Whitney Houston that everybody knows.
Whitney Houston, I'll Always Love You. Of course, a cover of Dolly Parton's song. Olamide will come in between that. Then we'll play
Dolly Parton.
Just a snippet of Dolly Parton.
To let
you know
the
original roots of the song. I hope sometime we'll have a chance to talk about Dolly Parton, because she's very powerful.
Yeah.
God's Coloring Book, Jolene. Coat of Many Colors. She has powerful country songs for days. So someday we'll get to Dolly Parton. So that's the package. Drop the handles and production credits.
Alright, the production credits for the songs we did today. Burna Boy featuring Salty Soul, Time Flies, was produced by Salty Soul and Andre Harris. We have Mark Anthony, I Need You, was produced by Corey Rooney, who actually wrote the song as well. Sweetest Taboo was produced by Robin Miller, big man. Olamide Bado Love, produced by legendary Feels
Mr. Producer.
Feels Mr. Producer. Redeem Akula, yo.
One of the best to do.
And then, Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You, was produced by David Foster. I don't like you, sorry. I just had to say that. Alright.
You can find me on social media, Twitter, @Buiga_Adeoye. And for,
NSARS.
And police brutality in Nigeria.
NSARS.
And bad governance. We're tired.
Make I feel like I'm for street with my laptop a bit.
For real, drop your handle.
My handle is @NWAENIE_N on Twitter and @NWAENIE.Nelson on Instagram. Yeah, okay, we're going to come through right now and play these songs. All right, we out.
You, my darling, you. Bittersweet memories, that is all I'm taking with me. So goodbye, please don't cry. We both know I'm not what you need.
You know, well, I spend time with you. And we are not sure we'll get high with you. But baby, I be gone till November. I thought I told ya, you remember. I'm on my way, tryna get by here, tryna get in my name, so we stay fly. Meanwhile, you should don't cry when you need me, and I'm not by your side. Get cold, friend, it's just falling. I'm here when your heart falling. And when you sick of being lonely, miss you to my one and only. Shawty, you can have it or whatever, my money in the profits again and the capital. Shawty, you're the only one, don't ever want more. Bad mind, send me now, baby, girl, I said it all.
Foolish, nobody say I'm stupid. Nobody say I hate you all. I don't get you for mine, but ask to me, you're easy. And everything gets freezing. But nobody say I hate you all. I don't get you for mine, baby, I.
We both know that I'm not what you need.